Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello, everyone!
Ooh, my name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched It, Chapter 2. The Itning. Even
the
itter.
Yeah, It 2, It 2-er.
It free or It hard.
It hard, It with a vengeance.
Yeah.
A good day to It.
To the losers.
We made an oath.
Swear? If it isn't dead, if it ever comes back, we'll come back to you.
We didn't stop it.
Anyways.
The clown.
We can't let it happen again.
It follows.
They could have called it It Follows.
They could have. I mean, it was taken. Tom,
do we want to point out that this is the 100th we just watched?
Oh Jesus! Why are you remembering these things?
Everybody, you fucking told me.
Yeah, welcome to the 100th we just watched.
Yeah.
Ah. Mm-hmm. We've done 100 of these, so that's something. Yeah. That's worth fucking. I don't know. That's worth getting excited about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've made it. We made it.
We did. We made it. It's seeing this movie has reminded me that it's been nearly 2 years since we lost our jobs.
Yeah. Wait, did we have a job when the first one came out?
We did, briefly.
Whoa.
Yeah, right?
If
that doesn't shatter your whole goddamn universe, I don't know what does.
I was talking to Abe. And I said, I was talking about, I went to Universal Studios, and I went to Abe, and I was like, I worked here like 5 years ago. And he was like, no, you didn't. Like, I think you worked at Cracked 5 years ago. And it hurt, because it was like, oh, yeah. Right. Like, I've been saying 5 years ago for the last, like, 5 years.
Right. So you worked here 10 years ago.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, fucking, it's wild.
And what a fitting movie. What better movie for us to watch than a movie that's about the bitter ravages of time?
Yes. Tom, what did you think of It, Chapter 2?
I liked it.
Okay.
I did. There are some parts of it that I wasn't thrilled about, but as a whole, I liked it. I liked that they... Because I'm a huge fan of the novel. It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah, I like the novel a lot.
I liked that they included a lot of the stuff that they left out of the first movie.
Yeah.
I like... There's a couple of major changes, but I really liked all of them.
Okay. I'm actually torn between... Mm-hmm. I'm either indifferent about this movie or I didn't care for it.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah, because it's mostly that I didn't find it... I know what you're saying. And I had this about the first It. It was I didn't find the It remake very scary. But I thought it looked good. And it was well done. Mm-hmm. My problem with this one was that the pacing was really
is strange
bad.
In this film. Yeah.
Yeah. And so since it still wasn't scary to me. So it just like it felt kind of long and loud. And like I got kind of like I think if it was only like 2 hours, I would have been like, yeah, this is pretty good. But the fact that it's 3 hours made me really sick of it by the end. I had a headache and I was like, this is just loud and there's some weird jokes throughout. Like,
there's like two moments that it goes for broad comedy, and I'm so confused by them.
Yeah, it's a weird choice. This movie, like I said, I'm not like passionately hating it or anything. I'm just like, I don't know. What were the things that you liked that were different? I was trying to remember. Because there was one thing from the book that I wanted them to do, and they never did it, which was the little dead drowned kids.
In the
well thing or whatever
the standpipe.
Yeah.
The standpipe. Yeah, they do a version of it in the first one.
Yeah,
And it was cool seeing all those dead kids get washed out of the sewer with Henry Bowers.
Oh, yeah. We've said it many times on this podcast at this point. Mm-hmm. Is dead kids.
We are
fantastic.
Pro dead children in horror movies. Yeah. And there are some dead kids in this movie.
Yeah, they are.
Well, the main thing, and they kind of went meta with it because they keep ripping into James McAvoy's character, plays adult Bill, about how the ending to his books suck.
Right. Yeah.
And what they do, I don't know if it's even the biggest change, but it's a big change, is that once they kill it, they don't forget each other.
Right.
And that happens in the stories. Once they kill it, same thing happens where they forget who each other is, and then they lose all memory of everything that happened, which is kind of a downer.
Yeah, and I also like this better because, as they say, they're like, well, probably because we killed it.
Yeah.
Like, the spell is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Stephen King wrote it that way. And James McAvoy seems to be speaking as Stephen King in that opening scene where he's on set at the movie, where he's like, well, sometimes life isn't like that. And it's like, yeah, but this isn't life.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue Stephen King agrees because he's in the movie.
He's in the movie. I was not expecting that.
Neither was I, but it might be my favorite Stephen King cameo.
It's probably his best one, yeah.
Yeah, for one reason or own, and maybe this is just because he's older and he's had a lot of experience. He did a good job.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah, he wasn't bad as that character, because it wasn't... Like, I liked that cameo because it was like... Oh, this actually fits? Like, this is exactly who this character should be, which is like a grumpy old Stephen King.
He's doing the Judd Crandall Maine accent.
Yeah,
like, he's like,
yeah.
Ah, I want that bike over there, Ryder. You can afford it. I was like, oh yeah, Stephen King. The thing that killed me about that cameo was, were there a lot of kids in your theater?
No.
There were a legion of children in the theater that I saw this in, like little kids, like 10 and under.
Why?
I don't know why, but people in my town took their kids to this movie like it was the Avengers.
Weird.
I'm not sure why.
Well, all right.
The theater was loaded with kids.
The Arclight literally has a screening every hour until like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock tonight. So I don't know what's going on with that. I think that's actually something I want to talk about in this. But like,
the reason I brought it up because the thing that killed me about Stephen King's cameo is, as it was happening, the crowd didn't react. And I was like, oh, they don't know who he is.
Yeah. This isn't Stan Lee showing up in the Avengers.
They don't know who he is.
Yeah. I sat next to two teenage girls. Oh, this was
same.
Yeah. They didn't
it was a packed theater.
Oh, okay. This wasn't a packed theater, but they didn't seem to care for the movie. They came in like giggling and excited for it. And then they were just like, I think that was the thing, is that I don't mind this, but I think 3 hour movie. That's kind of slow at times. If you're a teenager going to see a horror movie, I mean, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I heard a couple of people on the way out. Again, it was a mom talking to her kid who, might have been 8.
Right. I don't know what's
like,
going on
that was,
in your town.
She was like, that was a really long movie. That was like 3 hours long. I was like, did you guys not, like, when you buy your tickets, it shows
they
you
tell
how
you.
Long the movie is.
That's
like, they tell you
I do appreciate the Arclight, because the Arclight will tell you. A person will come out and be like, hey, this is 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because I thought that the movie was long and somehow rushed, mainly because of the pacing.
Yeah, in some parts, yeah.
Because they spend, it felt almost repetitive because they keep doing they each kind of square off against Pennywise on their own. And they kind of do it twice. They all have to find a totem, and then they all get separated when they fight him. And meanwhile, like the beginning, when they all get together, that felt so rushed. And a lot of the character stuff felt like Beverly, they set up the abusive husband that never really, like, she just leaves and then it just, the movie continues and it never really comes up again.
Not really.
And weird because it was like, I know you're doing that because that's in the book, but in the purposes of the movie, it's just sort of a thing that happens. Like, there's a few moments like that where it's like,
well,
I get that this was in the book, but in the narrative of the movie, it's not working.
Well, I mean, it's I guess because they don't lean on it as much as the other characters, how they carried that baggage with them as they grew up. But I mean, it's there because she married her dad.
Right.
Like she's like she oh, just yeah, yeah. is attracted they all, to abusive men.
They all have
and
versions
they do a little
of
bit
that.
With yeah, they do it with Eddie too, but we don't really get to see that with Richie or Bill. Like how they sort of carried their baggage into adulthood.
Yeah, they skip over Richie's phone call. It just mm-hmm. like it was a weird there was very weird pacing there. Mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if they just had to cut it down and the studio
I'm
was
sure.
like, you can't cut down any of the expensive scare stuff. Mm-hmm. and that was actually the other thing that bothered me, and I think it was what bothered me about the other It as well, is that like I just don't find CGI scary mm-hmm. most of the time. And every time they built tension, like when Beverly goes home mm-hmm. and it's the old woman, and that was great. That was fantastic. And then she turns into a big CGI goblin, and it was like, oh, like I kept the tension kept getting diffused by like weird CG characters that were kind of grotesque, but didn't really
look scary. It's funny you mention her specifically, because that big troll, I was like, oh, okay, I don't like that. But for the most part, I agree in terms of I don't find CGI things scary.
Right.
I did really like them though, because they were they were grotesque in an interesting way. I'm like, well, if you're gonna make them CG, let's do some shit with it.
Yeah, that's the comparison I would make. Is this feels more like this doesn't feel. This is what I want to talk about with the Avengers thing. This mm-hmm. feels like pop horror in the sense that it's gotten so poppy that it's more like Guillermo del Toro style, where it's like, we're like, yeah, they'll kill some kids here and there, mm-hmm. but like nothing in it like will stay with me. And nothing in it was like, it was all pretty, like it's like you said, people were bringing their kids to it. It's mm-hmm. it's all very like, I don't know. I kind of wanted a version of it that was trying a little harder to be more horror than adventure. And that's where I feel like the jokes were a problem, where it mm-hmm. was like they kept doing like he gets stabbed in the face by Henry Bauer, and I think he cracks a joke. Eddie does.
The scene is played for laughs, and it's very strange.
And it's stuff like that where it felt like they were trying to be like, we got to make the Avengers of horror. We got to make mm-hmm. like the most. And like, I think that was a problem. And I think it fucked up the pacing, because they were like, we need more big set pieces. Let's forget the character stuff. And it made the movie generally unbalanced and not very scary. But I agree with you that it was all very pretty. But the
go ahead.
I was going to say the best looking creature, unfortunately, was just something that it was a direct reference to the Thing.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
I mean, they weren't hiding it. He says, you gotta be shitting me or whatever.
Yeah.
He says the line from the Thing.
He says, you have to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, you have to be fucking kidding me.
That's the exact thing that, yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing, but that bummed me out, because it was like, well, younger audiences aren't gonna know that there's a way better version of this. But
They did things with it, though, that you couldn't do with a practical dummy.
Yeah.
And that's when I appreciate CGI.
It looked good. It looked good. It just didn't look scary to me. It looked grotesque. It looked
like a Peter Jackson creature. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing about it. Like, I don't think, I mean, it scared me badly when I was a kid, but like, it's not, it to me is more like kind of like a dark fairy tale almost. It's not.
I agree.
Like, I wasn't coming in expecting to be scared.
Right. Well, okay. I agree that that's what it sort of is. Like, I would say compared to the, to like when they fight it at the end and he turns mm-hmm. into a giant spider and mm-hmm. like my instinctual thought was like, oh, that's kind of silly. And then I was like, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what's in the other movie.
It's exactly what happens.
The other movie is also like, I don't want to hold the other movie up to a pedestal. I'm not comparing mm-hmm. the two. Because I think the Tim Curry 90s movie, mm-hmm. the miniseries, is also has a lot of problems and is silly and cheesy and the jokes are bad. Mm-hmm. I think what the difference was is that the scares in the 90s one, when they did happen, they affected me more. And maybe that's nostalgia, but a lot of it's just Tim Curry's performance. And Bill Skarsgård, Billy does a great job.
Yeah,
it's for me, it was more like the CG distracted me from his performance.
I suspect, when did you see the first It? When did you see Tim Curry's It?
Oh, I was little.
There you go.
Like, no,
I don't think anything can replicate how scared I was of that movie when I was seven.
Right. I guess what I'm getting to, though, is I didn't want to compare the two, because what I'm getting more towards is that I wanted this movie to go in the other direction, which is to make, like, I wanted, because there's always been that thing about how there's just something not right in Derry. And they kind of touch upon it in the miniseries. And they kind of touch upon it in this. And there was something about that overall, like, that eeriness, that real creepiness where it's just there's something off. And I think what I liked about the original was that besides Pennywise, everything else is fairly, like, it's just people kind of creepy.
I don't know if you're remembering it correctly, because in, like, the miniseries really doesn't address the fact that, like, Derry as a whole is kind of fucked.
Well, they briefly do. There's a part where Beverly talks about it, and the way the adults act, and they kind of do it in this as well. I'm saying that the miniseries didn't do it enough, and I would argue that I was hoping this would do it more. And I don't think it was like that was the direction I wanted this to go in. I wanted it to be more subtle. And it went the other way, where it was a monster movie.
Yeah, I wanted them to do more of that. And they do in the first one.
Yes. And I think that's why I like the first one more. It's because the first one is a little more.
The kids are more interesting.
Yes. I will say the guy who played Mike, he's doing a perfect impression of that kid.
He's great.
Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty good in this. I didn't hate any performance in.
But yeah, I don't need. It sounds funny to say for a big budget adaptation of a Stephen King novel, but I don't need like it to scare me, because it's kind of like, I think you sort of have to be a kid to be like terrified by this concept, and I think that's the point.
I guess because I do think this is skating on the Stranger Things-esque Danger Kids stuff, obviously. I guess I was the least interested in that, I like the adventure side of it, and more in the idea of like I like that they did the lore more, where it's like a comet crashed under this town and everything has been just fucked up since.
Yeah.
And they kind of, they like, I thought they were going to start with that, because this movie starts with a fucking hate crime. And I was like, oh, it's going to be like all these people are toxic. And they don't really do that.
No. And it might be in scenes deleted, but
yeah, I find that aspect, again, I just found I like subtlety over like what I realized. One of the big things I realized in this one that I think I didn't realize about the other one, but I think was still there, is that every time Pennywise turns into a monster and bites a kid, the tension leaves for me. Like that dissolves the tension, as opposed to makes it scarier for me when it was Tim Curry just looking like a clown and not augmented with CG. And then every now and then his teeth would go, rah! And it was just like, I know they were probably doing that for budget.
Yes. That's 1,000% a budget.
But it was scarier to me than seeing it get a bunch of shark teeth and bite a kid. Cause then it wasn't anything. It's that thing where it's like, what I'm imagining is so much worse every time than what they can show me. And so then when they, like, that was basically every scare for me was that. It was tension, someone going into a dark place, being dragged off on their own, like, lured, and then tension, and then, like, big CGI thing. And I was just like, oh. And then it would end, and it was like, okay. Like, you had me for a second. So I get what you're saying, where this is, like, if you think of it as a fantasy.
Like a fantasy, a horror fantasy movie, and it's like the creatures are like, I was just admiring them as like, I wonder how far they're going to go with the grotesqueness, and they go pretty far.
Yeah.
So I liked looking at everything that they made.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And again, this is probably why this is actually for younger audiences, this movie.
Maybe.
Because I think grotesqueness, I think, is never that scary. Does that make sense? Where,
no,
like,
I understand what you're saying. I think that's where our disconnect is. Well, actually, I don't know, 'cause I'm sure you feel the same way. I didn't want it. It sounds like you would have preferred it to fit into a different box than it is.
I would have preferred a more subtle approach.
Right.
A more creepy, subtle approach to this story as opposed to going towards the monster movie. Because I think, and again, the miniseries wasn't much different. Like, I'm not comparing the two. The reasons I like the miniseries more is probably because of the limitations they had. But, like, the miniseries had a werewolf in it. Like, it's not subtle.
the book has a werewolf.
Yes. And, the book isn't subtle either. The book has a giant eye and all this shit. And I think...
And the Paul Bunyan statue.
Yep. Yeah, they had that in this. And that's another moment where I was just like, oh, man. Like, it's that thing with... You know what it is? It's like The Shining book versus the movie. And it's like every Stephen King story where it's like when they went and they were like, you know what? We're going to properly adapt The Shining into a miniseries. And you know what? We're going to do it just like the book. And it's like, really? Because those hedge mage animals are dumb.
Yeah.
And that's what it is that you like, I do believe to make a effective Stephen King movie, you kind of have to like be like, I'm going to capture the spirit of it, but not be so literal to the adaptation, because otherwise something like a giant Paul Bunyan statue, it's like, that's never going to be that scary.
I will say the initial reveal of it got me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a jump scare.
It lets this voice out. And then when you see it, it's like right up in your face and it tears its like little mouth open with all the plaster flying off and these fucking bats fly out. I was like,
oh yeah,
whoa.
Oh yeah, it's jarring
because I was ready for him to come to life, but it was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's just the old lady too, because when she finally comes out of the dark, it also got me in a similar way, because that was not what I was expecting to see. I was just like, whoa. I think I would have liked that version of it, but I also like this version of it, so I don't...
I guess it's just that I've already gotten this version of it.
Yeah.
So when I realized they were remaking it, I thought, like, oh, maybe we can get... And I think the first movie was a little more subtly creepy. It still wasn't.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
There's more... The first one is absolutely scarier.
Yes.
Even for somebody who doesn't really get scared by horror movies like me, like, I can still recognize, like, oh, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, and there's imagery in that stuck with me. A lot of stuff with his movement and stuff, and they didn't, like, it was that where a lot of the time, like, again, I think the secret of Pennywise has always been facial expressions or little movements, or, like, they do things in this where it's, like, obviously CG, where it's, like, to make him move a little creepier, but that it's that uncanny valley thing. But then the moment you give him like a big goofy tongue, it's just like it loses me, because it's like you don't need to be that over the top. Like, he can just be like off. He can just be like a little, like, if we're talking about fear, and I guess it depends on what this is aimed for, because if he's trying to eat the fear of children, well, then it makes sense that he'd get a big shark tooth smile. Like, I get it. But like, yeah, subtle. Just the subtlety of that character always got me more. In the Tim Curry version. And again, it's not performance based. It's almost all, like, I think Skarsgård could have or was doing it. But then they would,
right, the drain pipe scene is virtually identical.
Yeah,
the storm drain scene. It's the same idea of where it's like he's being perfectly genial, but he's in a storm drain.
Yeah.
It's like, so with the I agree that, like, a subtle creepier version of this film,
right,
I definitely would have enjoyed more and probably would be more of a classic horror movie.
But no, I get why you're entertained by it. Like, we talked about this before it came out. I said, like, you know, as long as it's an It movie, like, it'll entertain me to an extent.
Yeah.
And I guess I was kind of wrong on my end, but I get, because it is like, I just love this book, the story.
Yeah, and I guess I was sort of more willing, or not more willing, it was just like I accepted what this movie was going to be, and like, oh, that's fine, because it's like, you know, there's lots of different kinds of horror movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is one of this kind of movies, and I'm fine with being that. That is a box that it fits easily into.
Yeah. I think length played a factor.
Length is an issue.
Yeah, because, like I said, if this movie was an hour shorter, or even an hour shorter, I probably would have liked it more, only because I would have been like, yeah, this isn't exactly what I wanted, but at least it's not taking up my entire afternoon, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was that too. It's like, I got out of theaters and I'm like, Jesus, I it's 3 o'clock. I have
you
shit
could have
to
trimmed
do.
Yeah, I that's the thing. Like, I was like, I don't, because I like the story so much, like I can't single out any one thing that I would have just removed, but like looking back at the first one, this one is honestly, you would have been fine because it's only about 30 minutes longer than the first one,
right?
So you could have cut, if you had cut 20 minutes out of it, it probably would have made a big difference.
That's true. I would have cut the final fight, which is a weird thing to say.
I don't know.
But when
I liked that.
Beverly's in the bathroom and it's filling with blood and Bill, mm-hmm. and they keep doing, or I would have done the totem stuff, because the totem stuff, a lot of it didn't make sense, because Mike is like, we all have to split up and go and get our own thing. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, sure. But then it was like, why is Eddie going into the basement of the pharmacy? What is he doing down there? He's chasing his weird memory down there. Or like, so mm-hmm. wait, did Pennywise give Bill his totem? Like, why? How did that work? He got the boat from the ghost mm-hmm. of... It was stuff like that where I was like, this feels like it's all them being like, look, we're going to split up and we're all going to have an opportunity to get scared for a while for the audience. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Henry Bauer stuff, I would have cut that completely out, which is, again, weird to say. But he doesn't play into the plot.
He doesn't have much of an effect on it. No, he has more of an effect on it in the story.
Yeah, because, I mean, in
because
at
he,
least...
he about kills Mike, and Mike
exactly,
doesn't actually...
Exactly, and Mike can't join them.
He can't go down with them, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't do that. And so I was just like, well, what was the point of him? And it's like, he also felt very rushed and, like... There are the weird moments where he, like, stabs Eddie in the face, breaks mm-hmm. out the window, and then they just see him, like, run off, like, ha-ha. And then it just, like, cuts to the evening, and Mike's just like, I wonder where people are. And it's like, wait, is no one calling anybody? Are they just, did they not call the cops? And they don't.
Like, nope.
It's, like, really kind of weird.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Like, you could have just cut Henry out.
Yeah.
And we would have just accepted, oh, well, he died.
Yeah.
The first movie when Mike pushed him in the well.
Yeah, he super died.
Yeah.
I think there was just a lot of stuff like that where it's like they left it in because it's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But
they changed it in a way so that his presence doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And also taking, like, Penny, also cutting out, like, Watchmen did this in a lot of ways. Where it's like we see blimps in the background of Watchmen because they were in the comic, but they changed the story of the film to be that Adrian and Dr. Manhattan are working to create the new form of energy. In the comic books, that's already happened, which is why there are blimps everywhere because nobody's using gas anymore. So the blimps don't make any sense.
So they're
the
like
they
not
change the story.
Thinking about it at all.
Right. And like they show off Adrian's cat Bubastis in Watchmen, but... The genetic engineering aspect of Watchmen was taken out. You remember he developed genetic engineering so he could create the giant psychic squid, and they took that out of the movie. So the fact that he hasn't created genetic engineering in the movie makes the cat Bubastis not make sense.
Right.
So like in this movie, Pennywise lures them all back to Derry, which he does in the story. But the way it's presented in this movie, it kind of doesn't make sense because it's like, well, you invited them here so they could beat the shit out of you?
Right.
Like why would you do that? And in the story, he has more up his sleeve than just Henry. He also uses Beverly's husband, Tom, who kidnaps...
Oh, yeah.
He kidnaps Bill's wife.
Yeah, he doesn't kidnap Bill's wife in this. Bill's wife is barely a character in this.
Yeah, she's only in the beginning. So, like, Pennywise has more leverage against them. Like, he still wants them to come back so he can kill them, but, like... In this movie, he's like, he only has Henry, and Henry gets smoked immediately.
Right. And that is, I guess that's what I was, like, I thought was really missing from this that was in the book. And, like, in the 90s adaptation, they even tried, which is that, like, I remember there was whole chapters, whole chunks about, like, Beverly's relationship with her husband or, like, Bill's relationship with his wife and, like, their lives. And, again, they just sort of rush into it in this one where they're like, yeah, and they get there. Well, they're in the Chinese restaurant.
In fairness, in the miniseries, you only see Bill's relationship with his wife. Beverly, you don't see Beverly's husband.
No.
You don't see
You do.
Any of
they,
that
you
shit.
See enough of Beverly's husband. They show them in a meeting.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of a dickhead. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes after her, and you get the feeling that this is like the last, like this mm-hmm. has been going on for a while. Like, that's what I mean, is they do enough that you're like, okay, I understand it. And then later mm-hmm. Beverly talks about the fact that she's like, I married someone who is just like my father. And this one, they like, it's very weird and unclear.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, they give you the information, they just don't say it.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, it didn't feel as, like, it mattered as much. Like, it didn't feel like her arc really had much to do with it. I don't know. Regardless of what we think about the look and the scare stuff, I do mm-hmm. think this definitely needed, like, it had writing issues. For this, where it's like the Henry Bowers,
yeah.
The why are they coming back? Like, I would have appreciated this be more... Like, if this was going to be 3 hours, I would have appreciated mm-hmm. the first hour to actually be more about their characters leading up into it, or their lives. Maybe not an hour, but you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
then, like those multiple scare sequences.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or, like...
I still enjoyed all of it, and I still thought it all informed their characters.
Yeah. It just felt... It felt clunky to me.
The pacing is weird.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff where I feel like definitely the miniseries did better, where, like, for example, in the miniseries, and I know obviously why they didn't do this, but, like, they would do it where they'd all get a call,
mm-hmm.
They'd get a call from Mike, and then they'd flash back to, like, some significant thing they had with Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they set up, like, I think the first half.
Yes, that's the first half.
Honestly, they sort of do that in this, too, where they all go find their totem. Mm-hmm. But it's just clunkier, and I don't understand why they were going to those places a lot of the time. And it felt like they were, like, going back and, like, rewriting the first movie to, like, add stuff that they didn't really set up, or, like, I don't know. Yeah, it just felt clumsy.
Well, I don't know. Like, the only one that kind of didn't make too much sense to me is Ben's, because he goes to the school and has a memory where he's talking to Beverly about what's happened in the first movie, but it's like, but you guys weren't in, you were out of school for the summer when the first movie happened.
Right.
So, like, Ben should have gone to the library.
Yes. I didn't know. I didn't get why he didn't go to the library, because they already had a thing.
As Mike was in the library, I guess.
Yeah. I thought a lot of it, though, like, maybe it's just also execution. Like, the Eddie one really, that one really pops out to me, just because the miniseries, I thought, did it real simple, which was that as a kid, he's told about his inhaler as being possibly a placebo, and mm-hmm. then he sees the old guy as an adult, mm-hmm. and the old guy turns out to be, like, fucking possessed by Pennywise. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, real quick. And this one, they, like, sort of do the inhaler stuff again, but they still don't talk about the placebo.
Yeah, they do. They did that in the first movie.
No, I mean in this new one. They don't really, like... Yeah, I guess. And then he has that weird leper vision of it going mm-hmm. after him and his mom in the basement, and then he attacked. Yep. Like, it was just so, like, I don't know, that was such a weird fucking sequence that I felt like his arc is basically he's scared of everything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to be scared anymore. And I think mm-hmm. they did that way easier with, like, the old guy in the miniseries grabbing his arm and being creepy, and, like, just the inhaler and him, like, kind of slowly accepting that it's a placebo. I don't mm-hmm. know. It just feels less elegant. It felt like it was way more
yeah.
bullshit. And it was like, and then they do, like, he flashed back to him going in the basement, and then they cut to him as an adult, and he's just standing in the basement. And I was like, what are you doing in the basement? Why are you going there?
To re-spark the memory, I guess. That's what everybody else did.
Yeah. But why?
Because that's what they were told to do.
Told to get their totems. Like, they were told to, like, yeah. I guess the idea is they're trying to bring back memories.
Mm-hmm. And Eddie went to the place that he went to all the time, which was the pharmacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then his memory starts. And Richie went to the arcade because he spent the summer playing Street Fighter. And Beverly mm-hmm. went to her house.
Mm-hmm.
Bill went to his house.
Yeah. So. I just it felt like it was excuses to get scares in.
Yeah. I mean, it also happens in the miniseries. Like, I mean, it's been in every adaptation. I know
the miniseries, I think, just did a better job at it. Like, again,
yeah,
it's pacing.
It definitely
for example,
did it faster. Yeah.
For example, when they all right, the way the miniseries did it was that they haven't, like, all met up yet. Like, they do it where they're all rolling into town and they're just kind of visiting old memories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's what the difference was, is that in this one, they do it all in a weird order.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I don't know. It's just something was so clunky about, like, I feel like the more I think about this, the more I'll be able to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But, like, we've already sort of established, like, that the pacing was really fucking off.
Yeah, the pacing was weird. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure I'll want, I don't know. I'm not sure I'll see this movie again. I get, like, I get why people would find it fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was just, like, I think it just bugged me.
Yeah, clearly it bugged you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the scare scenes, loud. Loud was the way I could describe a lot of them, which was, like, I kind of, when he's in that locker, it's just like, okay, Pennywise is going to be in the locker with him. Just do it. Just do the thing. Just do the scare. And mm-hmm. then they do it, and it's like, ah, that's loud. Okay.
I was hoping the poster behind him was going to come to life.
Me too. I thought that's what they were setting up as well, and it was like, mm-hmm. no. I liked Beverly with her
hair on fire. That was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was cool imagery. That was well done.
Yeah. That looked really good. I enjoyed it, and I actually am planning on watching it again.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I'm.
I really liked. I like the story so much, and I thought they did a pretty decent job.
You know
with
what
it.
I would rather see
mm-hmm.
is a TV show then. Like an this, like this an actual miniseries where it's like
this would have worked better as like an 8 or 9 episode series on like Netflix or HBO.
Because I think they didn't know what to put
how to split it up.
Yeah, how to split it up, what to spend a lot of time on. There were just things that felt like
these two movies combined are longer than the original miniseries.
Yeah, I know. Which is weird.
So it's like, this is a big story.
And the way, book was huge.
The way the novel is written is everything is happening concurrently. Like, they're remembering what they did as kids.
Right.
As they're going through it as adults. So which you could do a lot easier in, like, an 8 or 9 episode series.
Yeah, if you did, where, like, the episode starts with them in a location and then, like, kind of, you know what? Good comparison. And person who should do it, Mike Flanagan's, the
Hill House.
Haunting a Hill House is exactly what we're talking about, which is there's something scary happened as a kids and then they're like the memories are coming back slowly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's exactly like that. In fact.
Yeah. And I think he's the person to do it
for sure.
Yeah. Cause
glad he's doing Dr. Sleep.
Oh yeah. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but to think that this could have been done in better hands, like the whole time I watch it, where it's like, yeah, that's pretty neat. Oh, that's neat. But like, it's nothing about it is sticking with me the way, and maybe this is hype. This is the fact that this is like my Lord of the Rings, you know, where it's like, this is that thing that I've been thinking about when they're going to do a new It for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, part of it's probably, I've just had so many expectations for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this isn't enough. Like, I wasn't satisfied.
Yeah. I would like a one that does... I would enjoy an adaptation that is more subtle and creepy and goes more into the town's history and how the town itself is kind of this fucked place.
Yeah.
And then just really go nuts with the monster stuff. Like, have it really be some crazy shit that you've never seen before.
Yeah. I could see a version of that. That's the best of both worlds. For sure. Oh, shit. I thought I had another question. And I don't remember. I thought it was weird. Okay. Oh, yeah. The romance. The Ben and Beverly. That also felt rushed. I don't know. That was all right, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine.
There was a lot of little... Like, it felt like the first movie introduced a lot of, like, that romance and then Bill and his brother. And they have stuff with it in this, but it didn't feel like we were, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was getting fully fleshed out or completed in what we saw. I don't know, but I guess I don't know what I would have expected from that too. I can't exactly say that who was in the original. fuck, I forget the actress's name, and John Ritter. Was that John Ritter?
Was John Ritter.
Jesus Christ. I like in this one, I gotta say, the actor who played Ben in this one, he was fine, but he did not seem, I don't know, he was probably my least favorite.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He looked fine. He was a fine actor. I didn't feel like it was the same character.
Well, we don't really get much of Ben in the first movie.
We get the new kids on the block, and he's like kind of a nerd, and he's very excitable. Like, you know what I realized is Ben seems, and I think maybe they fucked this up, Ben seems like he would have been the one to stay behind and live in the library. The way they present him in the first movie, where it's like he's all about the history.
Yeah, it's because they gave that to him, whereas in the original story, it's Mike's.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit of a problem. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Ben's character did feel like it didn't feel like there was much there, much personality.
Yeah. Yeah, he just sort of moon calves at Bev.
Yeah.
And is handsome and agreeable.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I think the actor's fine. It's just they didn't give him enough to do.
He doesn't have much character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Bill Hader was great.
Bill Hader was great, yeah.
But again, the jokes were, man.
Well, I liked the jokes. I didn't like the
jokes
the one
were fine.
Two,
it was like the timing.
I didn't like the one or two times where the movie comes to a stop to do a broad comedy.
Right.
Like that. Like when Eddie is choking the leper to death, and then it suddenly throws up on him.
And they play music.
And they play this. I can't remember the name of the song. I think it's Angel.
Why did they do that? Song.
It plays for like 3 seconds while he's getting puked on. I have no idea why
that was
they did
such
that.
A weird decision.
It is insane.
I think it must have been like somebody was like, we need to have more humor in this. Like some producer or something. Because a lot of the humor did feel, and they were fine jokes. Like they could go find in other things. But they really did undercut when they're like, oh, I'm just so scared. And it's like, well, you weren't so scared that you didn't make a fun joke when your friend's spider head came crashing down on you. Like he makes a joke there.
He does.
And it's stuff like that where it's like, be afraid. It's okay. You can be scared. Like, stop telling me how scared you are because you're not. You're cracking jokes. The stabbing in the face scene was very weird to me, too.
That was bizarre. Yeah, that was the other one. Because it's so strange and funny that when it happens, I was like, I wasn't sure if it was really happening.
Same here. Because he gets stabbed in the face. And so initially I'm like, oh, is that going to kill him? But I guess it doesn't because he's not stabbed in the brain. Yeah, it's
no,
fine.
It goes through his cheek.
But then he like inches into the shower like it's awkward, like an awkward moment, and like closes the shower.
Yeah.
And like Henry just watches it happen. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is this real life? Like are we watching, which one of these people is Pennywise? And then he stabs him through the shower.
Yeah, that might have been what they were trying to convey, and they just didn't execute it.
And then he says, like, his mullet sucks or something.
Oh, yeah, he's just like, what does he say? You should cut that mullet. It's been, like, 30 fucking years.
Right, and then he's just like, for the rest of the movie, and that sort of undercut when later he's like, I'm a coward, and they were like, hey, man, you got stabbed in the face, and you didn't care, and it's like, yeah, he didn't. Like... you don't have to point that out. It's weird. That's a weird. He's supposed to be a coward, but he's handles that situation like a pro.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly in shock when he stabs Henry. But like, I feel like they could have, if the intent of that scene was to make like Eddie's not sure if this is really happening, they needed to do a better job of pulling that off.
Right, and what they should have done, I mean, they should have had Mike bust in, say like they could have had. Eddie be a coward, you know, Mike bust in, get stabbed, and then we just have that plot point if they were going to do that at all. That's what I thought was going to happen. And then, yeah, it was just, yeah, the humor and tone, there's just something very off about this movie for me. And I guess I feel like we've already identified it at this point.
Those are the only two problem points for me in terms of the tone just randomly switching. Those two scenes, and it's very jarring when it happens.
It's very jarring. I would argue they do a few jokes here and there as well, like when the head turns into a spider, and then he's like, "Where is it?" and he looks up and he's like, "Oh, there he is," and it's like that's a funny gag, but I don't. It was that where it's like I think you're right in that this movie was trying to be fantasy horror in the sense that I don't think this movie was trying to scare me a lot of the time.
No.
I think it was trying to be an adventure.
Yeah.
Like Stranger Things-esque, grotesque.
Oh, for sure.
That's horror adventure.
I mean, you know that's how this movie was pitched, so, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I just don't think... I think some of that stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I also I don't have a problem believing that that character would make a joke, because that's what he does when he's scared.
Right. Yeah, it's more that the other characters would also, every now and then, do a joke or something.
Yeah.
But he could have been the comic relief throughout. Yeah, I don't know. I think this needed a couple more passes in the script. Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get why a lot of people didn't like it, like really didn't like it. I didn't get, like, I saw people being like, I hated it in the first like 5 minutes and stuff like that. I didn't really get that from it. I just got, it wore on me after a while. It was more what it was. To the point that, yeah, when it was ending, I was like, all right, just end.
What they should do is take the two movies and edit them together as, like, you know, in like maybe 4 or 5 episodes. Yeah. That's what they should do.
Well, they are going to edit them together. You saw that, right? The director the director's saying he's... I think that was always what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think they should give this to Mike Flanagan, and he should make a miniseries for Netflix, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're putting Hill House on Blu-ray with... that he's supervising a new cut of it that's going to add some stuff to the episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
I'm there for that, but I also...
I like what it is very much.
Yeah,
already,
I get a real cash grabby vibe off of that. Whenever it's like, and we've added a bunch of stuff, and it's like, you mean the stuff you didn't think you needed before?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd still check it out.
Yeah. Well, I think we can be done. I think that's a sode.
Yeah, I think that's 100th
I think that's 100th sode.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, tell them about our Patreon.
I was gonna do that.
Well, do it.
All right, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We got exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have other tiers where you can watch movies with us on Fridays and so on and so forth. It's all great stuff.
Yes, it's all the best.
Yeah, you love it. You fucking love it.
Ah, man, you can't get enough of it. And to that end, we also have a store. Good God. tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You can get all kinds of shirts and stickers and mugs and a poster and just check it out. It's all very exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's all very exciting.
You're very excited. You can't wait.
Yeah.
To stop listening to this and go to that store and that Patreon.
Look at you. You're a fucking mess right now. Get yourself together. Jesus Christ.
And if you can stop your little palms from sweating all over your smartphone, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Do it all.
It's a lot, but we appreciate all of the support.
We do. This is true. It's not a lie.
Let's be done.
All right.